Good afternoon. Thank you for coming out. And you said it right. Okay. So I'm going to talk today a little bit about the changes we're seeing, some of the soil quality parameters that we're measuring with some transition systems or systems transitioning into no-till production. And this, the multi-location experiments that we're doing here, we're establishing cover crops in order to increase the amount of carbon input into the system. And with those cover crops, we have two tillages to control the cover crop for subsequent spring crop growth with conventional tillage and no tillage using a roller crimper. So the main goal of the experiment, a cross-location experiment, is to look at these carbon-positive systems for improving soil health and hopefully increasing economic returns by reducing cost of production and energy. So these locations are in Dickinson, North Dakota, Lamberton, Minnesota, Marston, Iowa, that's right outside of Ames, Madison, Wisconsin, this is Hickory Corners where the Kellogg Biological Station is, and then the Rodale Institute in Pennsylvania. So along with these station locations, there are also some on-farm. I'm going to be focusing mostly with the on-station locations. And the objectives that Cindy and I are covering with the soil health are mainly involved with the nutrient and microbial dynamics. And we're using some of those parameters to look at the soil health as we transition into these systems. So some of those predictions that we've made beforehand are that when we're going to use these cover crops, we're going to increase the input of carbon, or input of organic matter, which will feed the soil biota. So in general, if you've got greater carbon inputs, you're probably looking for a greater biomass of those soil biota. And when you have tillage, though, you're going to increase that carbon turnover in the short term. So you can stimulate soil biota when you're incorporating that organic matter, but it might not have lasting effects. On the other hand, if you're using the roller crimper to kill off that winter cover crop, you're going to reduce the turnover, slow down the soil biota activity, but not necessarily reduce their biomass, but hopefully increase their biomass over time. And then the final prediction that we have is that we're going to be hoping that we see some change in the microbial community that develops under the different tillages. So our experimental design, I've given you a little bit of background. We have two tillages, the no-till with the roller crimping and the conventional till for disking. This is primarily to kill the winter cover crops that are in both systems, mind you. So we also have two rotations. They basically differ by the entry point. We started in 2008 where the entire field was in wheat, and then we moved into the winter cover crops that fall, rye in one of the entry points and hairy vetch in the other. And then we follow with some bean. This could be small grain bean or soybean or corn. And those rotations, and again in 2010, we have oats in both of the rotation systems. Really, I'm going to be concentrating on the tillage effects in these systems rather than looking at rotation today. So our activities, as I said, we initiated this in 2008, and we took fall soil samples before tillage, hopefully. And that was to a 15-centimeter depth across these systems. I should say that there are four replicates of the tillage and rotations combinations. Cindy is primarily doing all the nutrient analyses. We've got soil organic carbon, nitrogen, that's mineral nitrogen, total nitrogen, mineralization potential, particular organic matter, and other soil properties. And I'm focusing on the microbial dynamics with microbial biomass. This is obtained with a chloroform fumigation direct extraction. And I'm also looking at the fatty acid methyl ester profiles, and we're using the ester-linked FAME extraction, which I'll discuss a little later. So On to the data. Microbial biomass carbon here is presented in milligrams per kilogram over 3 years, the wheat year, the bean or corn year, and then in 2010, the oat year. And two things I want to point out first is that we do have variability across these locations, with the North Dakota site having the least amount of microbial biomass and Minnesota having the greatest, and the other ones are falling in between. So as should be expected, or what we want to see, is that in the first year, since the entire field has not had the tillage applied or the winter cover crops, we didn't see any significant difference across these locations. But in 2009, we did see that the majority of the systems shows the greater microbial biomass under no-till. So in the direction of the arrow shows you the larger part being in the no-till. This over here, we did have an interaction where only one of those rotations did we see that the greater microbial biomass was under the no-till. In 2010, it follows that only two of these locations had that significant difference, although the patterning is still that the no-till in general is still greater than the conventional tillage. Now we can look at this another way by looking at the percent change from 2008. So this is percent change. In the solid line, we have the conventional tillage, and in the dotted lines, we have the no-tillage. And we see that for most of the, for two of these no-till systems, this is Michigan up here, and this is North Dakota, we saw up to 100% change or 100% increase in that microbial biomass content. Now we have some other conventional tillage that also increased. Again, this is North Dakota and this is Michigan, with not much happening or some bouncing around at the other locations. So as I did mention, that when we're increasing the soil organic carbon, we are trying to see that there's an effect on the microbial biota by an increase in that microbial biota. And although there is a lot of variability within location, as you can see, if we look across the locations, we see that as soil organic matter or soil organic carbon content, milligrams per kilogram here, increases, microbial biomass content is also increasing. Now, I didn't put a regression line because we still have to deal with this variability. Now, one thing that we do expect or do not expect to see within 3 years, the change in soil organic carbon can't necessarily be detected. So that might take 10 or 15 years in order to get that significant difference occurring. But this relationship here that we do have might indicate that if you're using microbial biomass and that change in microbial biomass, that might be the more sensitive indicator to the fact that more carbon is actually going into that system. So on to the FAME dynamics. As I said, this is the ester-linked FAME extraction. This was developed by Ray Driver and presented in Schuster and this is an extraction with sodium hydroxide, potassium hydroxide rather than the sodium hydroxide, using acetic acid to transesterify. Now, you probably heard about PLFAs as well as direct FAME. Now, the phospholipid fatty acids are primarily getting those microbes that are most active in the system, and the direct fatty acid methyl esters might be extracting some of those plant fatty acids. So we've gone to this more distinct ester-linked FAME in order to get the majority of those active, possibly some of the inactive microbes. We've used the MIDI system to do the identifications. So we have total fatty acid methyl esters in micromoles that we used a stearic acid standard to account for. And we only looked at the carbon chains that are between 14 and 19 in length. So if you get greater than 19 carbons in your fatty acid, you're probably looking at a plant fatty acid. As well as if you're smaller than the carbon 14s, you might see some more fatty acids. So within these, across the locations, we identified those fatty acids that were common, and we used these indicators, 14 chain lengths, 15 chain lengths. These are ISO and anti-ISO transformations on those. So we have gram-positive bacteria in the system, gram-negative bacteria in the system, actinomycetes that we can identify, and then fungi. We also did a proportional analysis where we took the sum of these four groups minus the total, and the remaining fatty acids are nonspecific to any of these groups, although, you know, they're crossing fatty acids, so some gram-positive and gram-negatives and all such can have all those other fatty acids that we identify. So for total FAME, and here I've got the micromoles per gram of soil for two locations, Iowa and Wisconsin. If I put all these locations, you might not be able to distinguish anything in these graphs. And then there's conventional tillage in the light blue and no tillage in the dark blue. And what we did see between 2008 and 2010, that there is a slight increase in the fatty acid content at some of the locations that we looked at, and then some jumps in the fatty acid contents at other locations. One thing that's consistent here is that the change between the conventional till and no-till has increased some to increase a greater amount, at least at this Wisconsin site. So there might be some effect with those total fatty acids being linked to the microbial biomass as well, that we're seeing greater activity and greater biomass of those microbes under no-till practices. Okay, so we've got our indicator FAMES. We're gram-positive, gram-negative, actinomycetes, fungi, and then the non-specifics. And this is the percent of those totals, again, CT in light blue and no-till in the dark. And again, for those two sites in 2008, 2010. Two things I want to point out here is that proportionally, we're still seeing some of the same patterns, whether that's 2008, 2010. So here we have the greater amount in gram-positives with a lesser amount in actinomycetes, but the gram-negatives are in between, whereas at this site, the gram-negatives are much greater. And then the other thing is that there's really a difference between those two locations. So we're looking at these indicator FAMES as being location specific rather than changing with the conventional or no-tillage practices. So to summarize, we're seeing with microbial biomass a general increase under the no-till, and that this increase is linked to soil organic content, soil organic carbon content. And with the fatty acid methyl esters, we also see that they're generally greater under no-till as a total, but the relative proportion is that they're location-specific, and there does not seem to be an apparent tillage effect on those different groups that we were able to identify. So to acknowledge the rest of the group here, we have Kathleen Delick from Iowa State University, who's the lead on this project, Pat Carr, NDSU, Jim Riddle and Paul Porter in Minnesota, Aaron Silver at the University of Wisconsin, Dale Mutch at Kellogg Biological Station, Jeff Moyer at the Rodale Institute, and I'm sure that both Cindy and I would like to thank our research assistants, Alan Wilson and Jody Yomas. So with that, I might have some time for questions. Okay. Okay.
So what are you proposing the carbon increases are coming from? Is it strictly from the cover crops or is there other things?
I'm sure in these systems most of that carbon is coming from the cover crop. So I'm sure there's carbon, cover crops have a lot of biomass, at least what I've heard. So, and Pat Carr is actually going to present some of the data from his location, I think, right? Anything else? Well, thank you for your attention.
Thank you.